For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
And we are back here on The Scoop, just getting ready to talk a little Vikings football here for today. And had it ready, but we want to make sure to give proper intro for our next guest. Back on The Scoop to help us break down the Week 1 24-16 win over the San Francisco 49ers. AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM.
AJ, Victory Mondays always feel pretty good.
Victory Mondays are always better than Loser Mondays or whatever you would call the opposite side of that. But yes, it feels good. You saw some good things, saw some bad things. It's Week 1, room to grow. But you do it with a victory, so it's much better than doing the other way.
Yes, indeed. Vikings win 24-16. A lot of new faces getting their first regular season action with the Vikings. And, of course, one of the biggest ones was Mr. Kirk Cousins, who threw a couple of touchdown passes in his Vikings debut. AJ, what did you think of the new Vikings quarterback? How did he look?
Well, he came as touted. You know, I think that it's very easy to overinflate those expectations in the long off season. Kirk Cousins was here eating at the Shake Shack at the Mall of America, became a free agent, gets a gigantic contract, is very quickly going to become that he's the best quarterback in the world. And if you have those expectations, you might have been disappointed on Sunday. But I think that Kirk was on Sunday what we thought he was going to be. I was encouraged by that because, you know, the things that he struggled with, I think that they're schematic things that he can continue to learn, and the things that he did really well are some of the things that you can't teach people. Some of those precision passes, both those touchdown passes to Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, that kind of a goofball sidearm throw that he got to David Morgan to extend a drive and get a first down near the goal line. You know, those are the things that that special quarterbacks can do, and not all quarterbacks have the ability. So when you see him do those things, I was encouraged by it, and I think that there's like we said, there's plenty of room for him to grow and get better. He didn't throw any interceptions. I was very pleasantly surprised with what Kirk did, because I think some of the things he did won you that game, and none of the things he did hurt that game or lost you that game.
We saw the return of Dalvin Cook to the lineup, and it was really interesting to kind of hear the comments from the coaching staff leading up to the game about whether or not he was going to be on a pitch count, quote unquote. They unleashed Dalvin in full force, and he was really active, especially early on in the game in the passing game.
I think the first four plays, Dalvin Cook got a touch, two runs, two passes. The very first play of the game was a scripted pass play to Dalvin Cook. Hopefully get that rust knocked off, get him the confidence to get out there and do some good things, and he turns it into 8-9 yards right away. So they had a plan to get him used to carrying the football, get him comfortable being back out there, and they did it right away. And he had a pretty good game. You know, like you said, I love the way that they use him in the passing game, those swing passes, get him around that corner and have him get that burst of speed to get an extra 5 yards. I think that they're I wasn't as encouraged with the run game as Dalvin was. I think that the offensive line failed to open up holes for him and really give him some run lanes. But at in the post-game press conference, Dalvin seemed to think that it wasn't as bad as maybe we thought it was, that they were just a little hair away from breaking some of those big runs and having a much bigger, much better day. So to see him out there, you know, doing what he did last year, not have really any hampering from that knee, not have any mental roadblocks out there, was the most encouraging thing. And then you mix in Latavius Murray to take some of that weight off his shoulders, and I think they got a good thing with that 1-2 punch at running back.
AJ, we'll continue talking about the game, but I wanted to, since we're talking about the offensive line, bring up the move that happened a little bit ago today. The Vikings signing Brian Witzman, who was formerly with the Kansas City Chiefs, putting Aviante Collins on injured reserve. What can we expect to see from Witzman? Well, is this more of a depth signing, or is he a guy who could actually come in and potentially take one of those starting line spots?
Well, you know, everything's going to get shaken up in a couple weeks here when Pat Elflein comes back. You You have a guy at an interior guard spot that you sign. He has starting experience, 13 games, I believe, last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, so he does have some experience. But when Pat Elflein comes back, he's going to get that center spot. Brett Jones is going to move somewhere, potentially to that left guard spot. Witzman could go there too. So it's going to, I don't know that there's going to be any moving and shaking right away, because I don't think Elflein will be back for the second game of the season. I could be shocked and surprised, but at this moment, I don't think he'll be back. And if that's the case, I think that more so once Elflein comes back, you have a battle between Jones and Witzman for that guard spot next to the center. And again, you're increasing your depth. An unfortunate situation. They had high hopes for Avion Collins and what he could bring to this team. Tears an ACL and he's done for the year. So they get some more depth, a guy who has experience. But we also have to remember and temper these expectations. He was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs not a week ago. I think September 3rd he was let go. So there's a reason for that, and maybe he just fits this scheme better than he fits Kansas City.
Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and my goodness, did Sheldon Richardson have a Vikings debut that was very active, and he was extremely disruptive right in the middle all game long.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. The interior of the defensive line, those guys do so many good things without getting credit because they don't show up in the stat book. It's not going to get you a lot of tackles. You're not going to get a lot of sacks. You're not going to get interceptions and fumble recoveries and all these things that we look at yesterday's game and say, okay, Harrison Smith played a great game because he had some sacks and an interception and a fumble recovery. Those guys splash in the game book, but the reality is, maybe the two most valuable players, you could even arguably say the two best defensive players for this team are on that interior defensive line with Linval Joseph and Sheldon Richardson. I'll never forget that when Mike Zimmer first came here, he threw a little pizza party for the media, played some film on the screen, and showed us exactly what sort of scheme he was bringing. And what he did was he showed us that position that Linval Joseph plays, and he said right away, this is the most important position of my defense. And Linval came in, and he's been rocking and rolling on that interior since then. Now you bring in Sheldon Richardson, a guy who can be beside him and take even more heat off Linval Joseph. I would guess to see, a lot of those sacks that you see the quarterbacks of the opposition getting hit on, it's because those two guys put pressure on the interior of that offensive line, defensive line. They push up the middle and force the quarterback to the outside right into the waiting arms of those defensive ends. That's where Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin are going to feast because of those guys. So I think it's going to make this defense better. It's going to rush the quarterback and force them to throw errant passes like we saw Jimmy Garoppolo throw, passes that are able to be intercepted or at least knocked down and passes a defense for this defense. So a big piece, one of maybe the more underrated pieces of this defense when they brought him in the free agency period this year. Sheldon Richardson played a fantastic game yesterday. The coaches agreed. The analysts agreed. No one can really argue that he was one of the defensive MVPs yesterday.
Great segue into who I was going to ask about next, that being Mike Hughes, who got the start when Mac Alexander was inactive for the game yesterday, and Hughes had the interception return for a touchdown. He also had another defensive play in the end zone where he was able to hit a receiver and kind of dislodge the ball. What did you think of Mike Hughes' Vikings debut?
I thought it was a pretty good debut. Not necessarily expecting to get the time that he did. He gets thrust into that nickel spot when Alexander can't go, gets that interception, gets that pass defense like you were talking about in the end zone, and then Trey Waynes gets hurt, so then he gets moved outside. So we got to see a little bit of the inside, a little bit of the outside with Mike Hughes yesterday. There's definitely room to grow and some things that Mike Zimmer, the cornerback whisperer, as we call him, is going to sit down with him and talk about. But when you talk about the things that he brings to the table as a physical athlete, the interception, anyone of us would have caught it. He had the mentality to take it to the house. The pass deflection in the end zone, that's something that looked really good. He did some other good things, too, and he's catching on quickly, but he's not up to speed with NFL quarterbacks. So you get him up to speed, you get him some more experience. I think that these opportunities early in the season, playing the football game rather than watching from the sideline, are going ultimately to be good for his progression and his learning curve. So I don't know if Alexander is going to be back, if Waynes is going to be back, pending their injuries. But any time that Hughes can get on the football, help him learn faster and grow faster. And I think that they have high hopes for him.
AJ, are we concerned at all about the kind of stall out that this Vikings offense had in the second half? They went, I think, three consecutive three and outs, and Kirk Cousins missed, I think, his final eight passes. Or were those just some of the growing pains that we will see here and there from this Vikings offense as they continue to mesh?
Well, you know, I don't think I'm as concerned about the offense as I am about the decision-making, maybe from the play calling. So maybe I put this a little more on DeFilippo than I do on Kirk Cousins, let's say. Just if you're going to put a face to a name, I think that that's the way I go. And here's why. Defenses are going to make adjustments throughout a game. And San Francisco made an adjustment in that second half, primarily the fourth quarter. But it was the tail end of that third quarter, too. Kirk Cousins didn't complete a pass in the fourth quarter. You mentioned the three straight three and outs. I think that is as much, you know, there were some weird plays, a drop pass here, an overthrow there. Sure, the wide receivers can do better, Kirk can do better, but I think that there were more so some schematic things that San Francisco picked up on. Minnesota didn't necessarily, I don't know if they didn't notice it right away or they didn't make the requisite counter move to counteract it right away. But, you know, three straight three and outs, you don't really, you kind of fizzle into the end of the evening. Not a great way, a great feeling to leave your fans with. But at the end of the day, they had already done enough work to get this team a victory. So you take the good with the bad and hope that maybe they can learn from what they did. Those weird tight end bootlegs where Kittle kept getting open. There's some weird things that schematically I think that the coaching staff could make some better decisions as well as the players on the field.
AJ, looking to next weekend, the Vikings will be playing Green Bay. It's going to be fascinating to see what ends up happening with the Aaron Rodgers situation because he was able to lead the Packers to a win last night despite a knee injury at some point in the first half. Just looking at the health of this team, AJ, the Vikings, that is, you mentioned Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander. Not really sure if they're going to be able to go as of yet, but if they're not able to go, how set are the Vikings to be able to bring both Mike Hughes and Holton Hill in to fill those spots when needed?
Well, I mean, Rodgers is the kind of quarterback that's going to pick on them. He's going to identify that and go straight at them. The benefit and the way that the Vikings are going to counteract that is to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Last night, you could see a lot of the change that they made from the first half to the second half, from getting killed by Khalil Mack to really negating his impact on the field, was a lot of quick passes. Get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. Don't force him to throw super far down the field and put weight on that leg. Don't force him to evade pressure and run out of the pocket. Get the ball out of his hands quickly, and that's how you're going to avoid pressure. That's what the Vikings are going to try and negate, and they're going to be able to put a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. And if he has pressure on him, he can't necessarily identify those weak points in the defensive backfield with rookie players and inexperienced guys. So they're going to put a lot of pressure on him. There's so much defensive speed on this Minnesota Vikings team that I think whether he was in that game or not, I'm sorry, whether Aaron was fully healthy or not, I think that that's what the Vikings are going to look to do. And I think that, again, if he was healthy, fully healthy, or if he's hampered by this injury still, I just think that this defense is going to cause him fits and put a lot of pressure on him and make him make decisions that he's maybe not as comfortable making as when he sits back in the pocket and picks you apart.
AJ, I did want to ask as well about the special teams in general on yesterday's game, and we saw Matt Weil get his first start as Vikings punter. Daniel Carlson got his first start as Vikings kicker. How did you think both of them performed throughout the game yesterday?
I thought Carlson was great. You know, a 48-yard field goal. He was true on both extra points. I think five kickoffs were touchbacks, every single one that he had an opportunity at. I think he did great, kicking indoors, home field. I don't know if that adds pressure or takes less pressure off of you or more pressure off of you, but he did good. Matt Weil had the one punch that was 23 yards or something that came at an inopportune time. I don't know what to think of that situation yet. Quigley had a great season last year and was subsequently cut this year. So I don't know if there was more to that story or if he just wasn't doing what he was asked. As far as, you know, he'd boom the ball, but maybe he was asked to angle it and didn't do that. So I don't know where that's at. But I think Carlson had a better week than Weil did. But that's not to say that we're jumping ship and abandoning, looking for a new punter already.
couple more, AJ, before we let you go. Anything else in terms of observations from yesterday's game that that kind of surprised you or that bear monitoring here throughout the rest of the week?
No, you know, I mean, I think we watched some of those injuries. The inclusion of the new wrinkles in these offense with John DeFilippo, we saw little glimpses, an RPO here, an RPO there. You know, the swing passes to Dalvin Cook. I don't think we've seen all the creativity that we expect from this John DeFilippo offense. So as the playbook continues to get wider and broader, week by week, as they continue to install new things based on who they're playing, I think we're going to see some interesting things that we haven't really seen here in Minnesota with offenses as of late. A little more creativity, a little more of what we saw from the Eagles last year. I think that's still there. It just isn't there yet, and they didn't want to necessarily pull it out in week number one against the 49ers. So I'll be watching that. You know, it's nothing we're going to see in practice. It's nothing we're going to see until they're on the field for that game next week. But, you know, if they sprinkle one in here or there, I wouldn't be surprised if against a divisional opponent with a quality squad, you see something like that kind of come out of the woodwork.
And final question for you, AJ. I had to talk about Harrison Smith a little bit because, again, had just an absolutely dominant effort yesterday. Ended up with, I think, just about every defensive play you can have. And yet it seems like he still continues to be kind of undervalued by the rest of the league. Just how amazing is it that we continue to see performances like this despite there not being really any sort of recognition from media higher up?
It's great. I mean, that's how he wants it. I really do believe that. You know, he doesn't want the attention. He doesn't want the accolades. He wants to do his job and do it well and be compensated for it and be valued for it. And that's what happens here in Minnesota. You know, they're paying him, they're giving him the opportunity, they're putting him in positions to succeed, and he does it on a regular basis. So I think he's happy, kind of in the shadows rather than in the limelight, and it allows him to do what he does and not really have to worry about too much media or too many interviews on the national level. So that's his cup of tea, and he's going to drink it as long as they keep giving it to him.
Excellent stuff today, AJ. We'll see how the Vikings can do against Green Bay coming up on Sunday. But a 1-0 start to the year and a good win against the 49ers. We'll see if they can keep it rolling on Sunday at Lambeau.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk to you next week.